Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 18. We'll go all the way down to verse 33. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. By the way, everybody has music. Have the right music. Music will do something to your soul. Okay, it'll either do something good for your soul or it'll do something fleshly for your soul. And so have good music. Good music here we had tonight. And we have, by the way, God is giving us more and more good musicians. And it blesses our church. It's a blessing. But speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And as the husband's supposed to be like Jesus, the wife is supposed to be like the church and to be subject to her husband. And verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And by the way, ladies, I know that sounds extreme, but that's how it works. That's how God created us. That's how we're going to have a good marriage, that you're subject to your husband in everything. Now, husbands, look, don't be a tyrant. And don't point, oh, it's right there, sister. It doesn't work, okay? You love her enough. You love her enough to where she's just like open to God, open to you. She'll read that. She'll say, wow, I'm supposed to be subject to my own husband and everything. No big deal. And husbands, verse 25, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. That's pretty heavy. And so, but men, we got to work at it. And he loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word, the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And men, our love for our wives help. Say, oh, you know, I'm just, you know, I guess we had family devotion last night. It was really just for my wife. No, you love her. You love her as Christ loved the church. And you know what's going to happen? The wrinkles are going to come out, okay? And the spots are going to come out. And that's it. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Excuse me. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. We're one. By the way, when we're married, we're one. We're not two. Okay, we're not one. We're one. We're not two. We're not separated. We're not. You know, well, you know, I got my money. You got your money. I got my car. You got your car. You got this. I got that. No, we're one. And the marriage consummated, and we're one. Verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Father, help us tonight as we just touch on this area. We all need to work on it. And help us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Help the teenage boys to learn this. Help the single men that aren't married yet. I know they want to get married, to realize that's what it's about, loving our wives. We love our wives. They'll be motivated to follow us. They'll be motivated to get behind us and support the vision that you have and the purpose that you have for our lives. Lord, we need you tonight. We cry out to you for your help, to help all of us to have listening ears. Help me to communicate the best I can. I pray the Holy Spirit would use me. I empty myself the best I know how. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Tonight we're going to be real practical, and I'm going to share a few things we've shared before, and it's just by way of introduction. And then there's some information I want to give tonight. I've never given in church before. I've read it before, but I've never given it in church. And just about love language. Okay, we all have a way that we want to be loved. Okay, it's not all the same. It's not all the same. And so sometimes, and I'm gonna communicate something here in just a minute. We're different. Okay? We're different in many ways, and I'm gonna spend about 5 to 7 minutes on just reminding us that men and women are different. Okay? Men and women are different. But let me say this. We can get all the real practical, and I believe the practical, it's if it's scriptural, it's important. But at the foundation of your marriage, at the foundation of your marriage is this. Always, when I have premarital counseling, I'll say, look, here's how it works. It's a triangle. Here's God. Here's the wife. Here's God at the top of the triangle. Here's the wife. And then here's the husband. The closer you get to God, the closer you would be to each other. The closer you walk with God, the more time you spend in this book, the better your marriage is. You don't have to learn. Listen, we'll talk a little bit about spiritual gifts tonight. I'm going to pass out a little spiritual gifts thing. Just, you need to understand, your wife and you and are different in spiritual gifts. You're different in your gender. You're different in your love language. We can understand all that, but if we're not walking with God, put up your dukes. It's the way it works. Okay? Look, man, I remember when I went to Bible college. I don't forget, we went to Bible college, and everybody, man, I want to be roommates. They actually made a rule. You couldn't be roommates with your people in your home. You're going to have to work on something. I'm just going to. You couldn't be roommates with your people in your home church. And they said, because you know each other so much, and you're going to fight with each other. Oh, no, we'll not fight with each other. There's no way. We'll be the best of friends, and everybody wanted to be roommates and they with the people back home. And sure enough, if they somehow got around it, and I don't know how they did it, man, they were the first, I mean, in four weeks, you know what they're wanting to do? Transfer in dorm rooms, okay? It's hard enough to just live with a dorm mate, you know, dorm room, you know, oh, we're going to be, you know, friends, or, hey, let's go get an apartment together. You don't know how many times I've had to talk to people, well, you know, I don't know what it is, you know, he's just sort of carnal. No, you guys are just human beings, and human beings that get around each other for a while, you better be pretty spiritual or you ain't getting along. Same thing with your marriage. So all this practical love language and the spiritual gifts, that's all good. I'm teaching it tonight, but what is the most important part of your marriage? Husband, walk with God. Wife, walk with God. Spend time in this book. You listen, if you're fussing a little bit last night or night before last and you get in the book and the Holy Spirit is using the Word of God to convict your soul, boom, you go and apologize to your wife and she's, oh, well, it was really my fault. And next thing you're hugging each other and crying at each other saying, no, it was my fault, it was my fault. And we're blaming our own selves and we get it all straightened out. If you're not in the book, you're not walking with God, you're proud, you're haughty, you're just, you know, picking at each other. And so that's important. And we need to understand that. We said men must understand that we are to show our wives love the way they want us to love, and that would be the way God would want us to love. Men, we must study what our wives like and dislike. We're going to look again. 1 Peter chapter 3, one more time, 1 Peter chapter 3. Study your wife. Study her. 1 Peter chapter 3. Study her. You need to make your wife a science project. Remember those science projects? Dissect the frog's eyeball. Okay, cut it out. Look at the frog. Does a frog have a retina? I don't know. Study your wife. Study your wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, talking about a husband not saved. By the way, you can put a wife. This could be addressed to a wife or a husband that has an unsaved wife. If any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of their wives. And wives, what this is saying is your walk with God can and very well may motivate your unsaved husband to get saved. Okay, and who's adorning, let it not be, where's Miss Hardesty? Miss Hardesty, where's she? How long was your husband, how long were you saved before your husband got saved? Okay. Well, you don't have to confess your sins. I'll confess our faults, that's okay. So about 5 years you pray for your husband. Okay. And excuse me? You were stubborn? She said you still are. But anyway, 5 years, and so you're going to church for how many years without your husband? 4 years. Okay, 4 years. And so that's what the Bible's talking about. Verse three, who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. By the way, it's okay, girls, be pretty and do all the pretty stuff. But you know, more important than anything else is your heart. By the way, usually the more you have to do on the outside, usually the weaker the heart is. Usually the less you have to do on the outside, the stronger the heart is. And of course, do all that stuff. Comb your hair. And you know, someone once said, if the barn needs paint, and paint it. Okay? But you know, if you got to put it on like putty, you got too much going. Okay? Anyway. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man in the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, by the way, a lot of barns don't need painting that much. And so sometimes we get, how do I get off on that? So sometimes I think we get caught up in the world. Sometimes it's like, wow, you're pretty without so much stuff on. Anyway, what? Be quiet over here. He's like giving me subliminal things behind me. But let it be the hidden man in the heart, verse 4, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. By the way, I always say, if you want your wife to call you Lord, look like a Lord. Don't be walking around in holy shorts, holy T-shirt at home. Come on, you don't look like a Lord, okay? Hair's all messed up, hadn't brushed your teeth, you know. Don't expect your wife to call you Lord and like that. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, call him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, who, your wife, according to knowledge. That knowledge is, that word is like science, to get to know, study. Giving honor unto the wife is unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So get to know your wife, study her, understand she's the weaker vessel, okay? By the way, nowadays, it's the men that are the weaker vessels and the women are the stronger vessels. It's not how it's supposed to be, but we need to study our wives. Get to know your wives. Men, understand them. And let me say this, and I mentioned this a little bit last week. And this happens. Sometimes men get all on fire for God, and you know they're walking with God, and they're going to church, and their wife has these babies, and she's cooking the food, and she's doing all the housework, and he comes home. You know, he's going to be the next Apostle Paul, and she's like, and he's like, hey, you need to get spiritual. You know what she wants to say? You need to get a life. Don't pass your wife so fast. If she's not caught up with you spiritually, you love her and be patient with her and don't demean her. Oh, man, you act like a Jezebel. You're in trouble. Okay? You're way ahead of your wife. Don't criticize her. Help her. Love her. Be patient with her. You know what you do? Get some money and take her to some ladies' conference somewhere in the Bahamas. She can go to the Bahamas and she can also learn a little bit, okay? Now, here's a message tonight. Men, we must understand our wives are different in many ways. And I'm going to, some of this we've heard before, but the second part of this message, this was a review, it's going to be very new material. We're different. Can everybody say different? Someone once said most men are mental homosexuals. Bob Gray said, man, I heard you say that, Brother Esposito. What does that mean? He said he listens to my sermons. I don't know if he does, but he said he does. Male homosexuals. We want to marry a lady that thinks like a man. Ain't going to happen. Unless you want her talking like this. And she can out-arm wrestle you. She's a lady. I don't know about you. I married a lady. You don't treat her like the men. Ladies are different. Men are different. Every cell is different. We're different. Men have thicker and heavier blood, which makes them not get tired as quickly as their wives. Women have extra layer of fat under their skin to make their skin softer. Listen, when I'm shaking a girl's hand and it feels like, you know, her hand is softer. Her skin is softer. Okay? God made her that way. Why? So you'll touch her. What's so funny about that? I'm talking to married men. Single guys, by the way, single guys want to touch them, and then they're not supposed to, and married men don't want to touch them, and they're supposed to. Now let's get this thing straight. Adam said, Lord, why did you make Eve's skin so soft? And the Lord said, so you'll touch her. And Adam said to the Lord, why did you make her eyes so pretty? He said, so that you'll look into her eyes. And Adam said, why did you make her so beautiful? And the Lord said, so you'll compliment her. Then Adam said, Lord, why'd you make her so dumb? The Lord said, so she'll love you. Men have thicker skin. This is why they don't wrinkle typically as early as their wives. Okay? By the way, God made us different. Men have larger ratio of muscle to fat. 40% muscle to 20. Ladies have 20% muscle. Pound for pound, a man is twice as strong as a lady. I've always said this. If your wife can out-arm wrestle you, you're a wimp. That is why if you're the biggest difference is the monthly cycle of a woman that God gave a lady. 40, and by the way, we got to be sensitive to this, and we won't elaborate on it. 40 to 60% of women that commit suicide are on their menstrual cycle. Study in England said 64% of all crimes committed by ladies are during that time. Be quiet. I shouldn't. I got something down here. I'm not going to say it. Anyway, our brains are different. No, I'm not. We're supposed to be nice. Our brains are different. Men are mono-minded. Women are stereo-minded. But we need to understand this. We're different. You married a different creature. Okay? They're different. I don't mean different, but they're different. We're mono-minded. Men are mono-minded. Women think out of both sides of their brains. There's a connecting fiber that's destroyed at birth. This allows men typically to be more focused and to succeed at what God's called them to do. That's why if your wife says, honey, did you think about me at work? And you said yes, you're lying. You're working. You're focused on work. Now, if you want to lie and get forgiveness just to make her happy, go ahead. That's between you and God, but you're fibbing. Man cannot talk on the phone and do anything else. My kids come, I'm talking on the phone, my kids, hey, Dad, I'm like, women, they're on the phone, ironing, vacuum, change the diaper with the other foot. Not men. Man, you just this one thing I do. We're different. By the way, wives, be patient with your husband. Look, I don't know how many times I've been driving. I cannot drive and talk at the same time. I'll pass my off ramp. I'll be out with my wife and I were going somewhere, and I'll tell you what, we were like halfway to San Diego. I'm going, we're in the wrong freeway. We're different. Women, they're amazing. They are amazing. Just, and by the way, one reason God made women like that, they're more caring. They take care of the children better. They're more nurturing. We're just a bunch of knuckleheads, guys. Men, by the way, no excuse. Men, we forget anniversaries. No excuse. That's what your little new phones are for, right? All reminders and stuff like that. You say, what, man, one thing I do. We can't remember a bunch of stuff. This is why we walk to the garage, by the time we get there, we're like, I forgot what I was going to get here. By the way, this allows women just to be more effective as mothers and as wives. Men, please get this. The key for men, we're talking to men tonight. Ladies, you can laugh, poke, all that stuff, but we're talking to men. The key is for men to seek to understand before you seek to be understood, okay? Men and women communicate differently. One of the biggest problems in counseling, by the way, I thought it was just my counseling. It's not. Books I read all say the same thing. Biggest problem, women say the same thing. He won't talk. He won't talk. By the way, men, we're hunters. We're hunters. We're focused. You know what we did? Man, when we were after her, we didn't know if she was going to say, I love you. We didn't know if she'd marry us. Man, we're notes and candy and finding out her favorite perfume and all that. And we're going after her, and then we're hunting her, and then boom, she said, I do. Psh, we're done. Let's go get something else. And our wives say, what happened after we get married? Come on, let's keep doing some of that stuff. Men and women communicate differently. UCLA, this is not a Christian university, but the UCLA Communication Department said they did a study on those married 60 to 70 years. Man, I'm 26. I'm like barely a quarter of the way there. 60 to 70 years, and said there were two common denominators of these couples. By the way, don't you think, oh, well, once you're past 30 years, you know, you're there. No. One of the biggest windows of divorce is right after your last child leaves your home. Man, when after my last child leaves the home, we're having a celebration. Brother, you're out of here. Now I can eat as much as I want. We can do whatever we want, wherever we want. Amen? Anyway, we'll go on to the next point here. We're two common denominators. Number one, in these 60, the UCLA Communications Department, in these 67-year-olds that have been married 60 to 70 years, number one, the couples did not give each other the silent treatment. Shh. Man, I'd rather you just fight it out. Don't give me the silent treatment. Okay, they didn't give each other the silent treatment, number one. Number two, they avoided negative put-downs. Don't put each other down. The average couple after 1 year of marriage have only 37 minutes of meaningful conversation. The longer you are married, the less minutes. An 11-country study about happiness in marriage by Dr. Mark Lee said that happiness in marriage is greatly determined by couples that talk the most. It got quiet on that. Man, we don't talk. You know. Can I have the remote? Channel 7. Let's go get the USA Today. That's it. And our wives, this is how it is. Trust me. I'm going to say this, and all kinds of eyebrows are going to go up. The wife says, let's talk. And the husband says, okay. She says, well, let's talk. He says, go ahead. You said let's talk. I'm here to talk. And then they start fighting because they're not talking. Okay. You know what that means? Tell her how pretty she is. Tell her how nice she is. Remember how you talked to her when you first started to try to win her heart? Women communicate, please get this, women communicate to share themselves. Men communicate to solve problems. By the way, men, that's why when your wife is having a rough time, don't put together a 4-point outline on how to fix her problem. She doesn't want to hear that. Now, that's how we are. Well, come over here, honey. Let me tell you what we need to do. She doesn't want to hear that. You know, she wants, oh, come here, sweetie. Let's go take a walk. Would you like to go out to eat? Just, you know, be huffy-wuffy. You say, what's that? I'm not sure. Women communicate to share themselves. Men communicate to solve problems. Just let her put her head on your shoulder and don't get, man, don't be so logical, okay? I mean when you're talking to her. That didn't sound right. Men speak 9,000 words a day, women 15,000 words a day. A Bible theologian once said that is why God made Adam first, so he can get a few words in. Amen? Little girls are verbally oriented. I've shared this before. They put hidden cameras in little rooms with little girls. 100% of everything they said to all the little girls were words. Boys? No. 40% are words. About the only thing you hear a voice, you hear, give me my truck back. Then you hear that. They had hidden cameras. And then about the only thing, any words you hear is, I'll be right back. I'm going to the bathroom. Women are detail-oriented when they talk to men. Men are bottom-line oriented. And then, men, of course, we want reverence, and women desire love. I want you, guys, if you can do this, I'm going to give you two thoughts, and then we're going to be done. I want you to, do you guys have the spiritual gift thing? Do you have that back there? Do you have a piano player? Who can play the piano? Sarah? Here comes Jed. Come on, Jed. Jed runs everywhere he goes. Does he run at your house, Brother Ezekiel? Runs from room to kitchen. Yeah, I like it. I tell him I like that, man. He gets a lot done. Why don't you pass those out? Now, I'm not going to go over this for a long time. I want you to write on top of this. You can have one of those, Brother Dark. Thanks. Glory. I want you to write on top of this Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Write on it. Romans 12, 6 through 8 gives us the seven spiritual gifts. Now, here's our first test tonight. I heard a spiritual leader say once, he said, perform a ceremony, he said, the spouses must know their spiritual gifts. You say, why? If you don't know your husband's spiritual gift or your wife's spiritual gift, what happens is you're insensitive to their passions or their lack of your passion. Okay? Now let's go to the hospital. We've done this before. We'll do this fast. And then I want to go over real fast the love language. And then did we announce what we're eating tonight? Is there anything to eat tonight? What are we eating? All right, good. You see the bed, the hospital bed? You see that? Everybody see the hospital bed? Go to the hospital bed. There's a hospital bed and then the cake. Now, look. Let me ask you a question. How many here you say, Pastor, I'm pretty sure I know my spiritual gift from Romans chapter number 12. I'm pretty sure I know one of my motivational gifts, one of the seven. Who would say, I think I know it? Okay. Now, that's good, but it's better if more of us know it. And maybe I'll take the blame, and I talk about it, but I don't teach about it probably as much as I should. Remember this. If you're a mercy, if you have the spiritual gift of mercy, you like animals. If you have the gift in an organization, you think animals are satanic. And so, are you a mercy? You like animals? What are you? You're an organizer, and you don't like animals. You say what? They shed hair. They make a mess. They go potty in places they're not supposed to. But here you are, you're married. By the way, here you are, you're married to a mercy, and you know what? Exactly. They take in stray cats, and they're taking in a stray canary, and they're bringing all this in. And next thing you know, you two are like duking it out, only because you don't know that your wife's spiritual gift is a mercy. Or then, mercy and organizer, it can be potentially lethal if you don't understand each other. Okay? You know what my wife is? A prophet. A prophet. My wife's a prophet. I'm not a prophet. I'm an exhorter. So if I didn't understand, every once in a while, she sort of gets like, preachy. Like, sister, I'm the preacher, not you. Okay. Cool off. I'm trying to fix things while she's trying to bombard them. Okay. But you have the server. If you're at the hospital, Here's where we are. Look at the server. The server will say this. Here's a little gift. Now I brought you mail in, fed your dog, watered your plants, and washed your dishes. That's probably what a servant would do when they go to the hospital. Okay? Look at the teacher. Okay? Right next to the server. I did some research on your illness, and I believe I can explain what's happening. You understand that? Here's the teacher. He comes to the hospital. No tears, no prayer, no flowers, no cookies, no candy, no nothing. There's a file. I'll see you later. That's about why you have your problem, what's going to happen, and you're probably going to die in 3 weeks according to that. See ya. That's a teacher. A teacher wants to verify and validate the truth. Then the giver. What's a giver? Who's the giver? Everything is through money. Okay, what's a giver say when he goes to the hospital? Do you have insurance to cover this kind of illness? Okay. The exhorter. How can we use what you're learning here to help others for the future? Okay? The prophet. Here's the prophet. They just walk in there, just sort of looking at the ceiling. They're like, what's this? This guy's about to come down on you. You're dying, and he's about to come down, and you're telling you how sinful you are, and that's why you're in here. The prophet. What is God trying to say to you through this illness? Is there some sin in your life? Is there some sin you haven't confessed yet? By the way, if you understand spiritual gifts, you get along with people a lot better too. Okay? But we're talking about your spouse, who the person that you got to live with. Organizer, don't worry about a thing. I've assigned your job to four others in the office. Look, organizers, they have everything just so organized, everything in its place. And if your wife's not an organizer, you feel like she's messy. No, you're an organizer. You're an extreme clean freak. Okay? Mercy. I can't begin to tell you how I felt when I learned you were sick. How do you feel now? Okay? Flip the page over. All right, we're down the street at the Barker's house, and you know, Natalie's birthday, she's 12, 11 going to be. She's going to be 11. And so we're all invited. The whole church is over there, right? We got a big piece of cake, and then all of a sudden, sure enough, Alfonso knocks Nick over and the cake falls. And now we're all going to say something, right? Or we're at least going to think it. Well, here we go. Okay, the prophet, that's what happens when you're not careful. How many are the prophet? Come on, put your hands up. Oh, okay. John, you are too, Chuck. Come on, quit being so innocent. Yeah, Ryan, he's the prophet, isn't he? Okay. Your wife loves you more now. She understands why you're so mean. she won't blame it on you. She'll blame it on God. The prophet. Okay, look next to the prophet. The mercy. Don't feel badly. You're the prophet. That's what you get. You know, be careful next time. The mercy. Oh, don't feel so badly. It could have happened to anyone. How many here are the mercy? Come on, mercies. Put it up. All you dog lovers. Okay. The server. Oh, let me help you clean it up. Motivation to fulfill need. How many servers? Server. Oh, okay. Good. We'll see you all Tuesday night at the cleanup party. Anyway. The teacher. The reason that it fell is that it was too heavy on one. The teacher always, okay, listen, you know, it's 4 degrees off to the, yeah. Okay, come on, you're boring us. The exhorter, next time let's serve the dessert with the meal, motivation to correct the future. Giver, what do you think the giver's going to do? Yep, let's go get some more cake, I'll pay for it. I'll be happy to buy a new dessert, motivation to give to a tangible need. Organizer, Jim. Would you get the, by the way, the organizers tell everybody what to do. They do nothing. It's like, hey, man, you pick up a broom. You've been telling us what to do ever since you got here. Jim, would you get the mop? Sue, please help pick it. This is funny. He's not doing a thing, lazy bum. Please help him pick it up. And Mary, help me fix another dessert. Motivation to teach the immediate goal. Now, put this away. Put it away. Let me ask you a question. What are you? What's your wife? You may have had a fight on the way over here because, you know, whatever your spiritual gift is. By the way, you might want to, if you're interested, we can get you more material on spiritual gifts. There's assets and liabilities to every spiritual gift. Now, I want to give you lastly, and I know we could spend the whole time on that. Our love language. Now, look up here. We're about done. Love language. We all, by the way, I'm going to go over five different love languages. Okay? Five different love languages. Okay? Well, let me ask you this. Let me back up. How many would say, I think I know what, by the way, a lot of times your spouse knows what your spiritual gift is before you do. Because they observe you. You don't observe yourself. How many would say, I think I know what my spouse's spiritual gift is? Raise your hand. I think. Okay. Yeah. And so you say, what's the purpose of this? Maybe they're a mercy. You say, oh, well, they're such a compromiser. No. Maybe they just have a heart more for people than you do, Mr. Prophet. That just, you know, if you had it your way, you'd call down fire from heaven and kill everybody. Well, you know, they just need to get in the Bible. No, maybe you just need to chill out a little bit. You understand that? We all have a different motivation. By the way, it would be, these seven gifts are personified in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's perfect in all seven gifts. But be sensitive. And by the way, if you're a leader, you have people around, this helps me to lead our staff, okay? To understand, each of them have their own personalities, their own giftedness, and then their own spiritual gifts. Now, love language. I'm going to say this. I'm going to give you five love languages. It would be good, man, if you expressed all of these love languages to your wife. She'd be real happy. But if you're like most men, you don't have a, you know, you don't do real well at it. What you can do is try to find out what her one primary love language is. By the way, I know what my wife's is, and I asked her today. We talked a little bit about it, and she knew what mine was, and I knew what hers was. I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna be teaching this. We were on right here, aren't we? If not, let's get it straightened out before I teach it." Amen. Of course, Lester Roloff said, "If the only things you preach is what you practice, you won't preach much." But let me give you a few of these. I'm gonna give you five. Okay, and here's the thing, men. Find out what your wife's primary love language is and give it to her. Don't necessarily, your love language might be different. Okay, here's one. Verbal. Can everybody say verbal? Includes spoken or written. By the way, that's my wife's. My wife wants me to just say nice things about her. That's hard for a man. We're like, I don't know what it is. We just don't talk enough. We're not sensitive enough. We don't pay attention enough. That's what my wife wants. I need to give it to her. Verbal. This includes spoken or written communication. Words of affirmation. Okay? Praise and verbal acceptance is very important. Gratitude. Encouragement. Notes. Cards. Ooh, not this. Poetry. Poetry. Any Google. I Googled this myself. Notes, cards, poetry, other forms of written expression. Here we go. Pet names. Boopsie whoopsie. I don't know. Special phrases. Okay? Now, that's one. Now, there might be some ladies going, I don't like that. I think most ladies like that, even if that's not their primary love language. Number two. So number one is verbal. Let me say this, and I forgot the introduction. You know, look, we're a first-generation church. So most of us, we didn't see this in our homes. You know what we saw in our homes? Cursing, yelling, screaming. Some of us, we didn't see anything. There was no dad at home. And let me say this. You say, why I say that? That means we have to work on it more. Those of you that have Christian loving homes, you thank God. You say, why? It's not going to be as hard for you as it is for the rest of us. How are we supposed to come in? And, oh well, I used to watch I Love Lucy, Ricky. How are you going to love her? You're going to love her the way somewhere you were either taught or you've studied or you've by default you just don't know. Number one is verbal. Number two, gifts. Can everyone say gifts? This says, I've been thinking of you through gifts. Like the old advertising slogan, when you care enough to send the very best. It's not the gift, but the thoughtfulness behind it. Putting together gifts or doing tasks require the giving partner to be thinking of the other person. Okay? Could be as small as a pack of gum. Or favorite coffee brought to the spouse. Wow. I said coffee. I woke half the church up. Wow, she was thinking of me. Wow, he was thinking of me. Okay? It isn't the cost, but the frequency and the regularity. The person with this gift also often sees the gift of self as showing love, a willingness to give one's time or presence. So we have verbal. Can everybody say verbal? We have gifts. Okay. Let me ask you that. Well, let me get to the rest of it. Here's one. Acts of service. Acts of service. Unexpectedly doing tasks for the other. By the way, that's mine. That's my love language. There's not a whole lot of emotion in there. Okay. You know, my kids... They'll do something for me for my boys one year for my birthday. They did something in the backyard for me. You say, what did that do? I liked it. He said, oh, you mean you didn't want a poem? I would have taken a poem. You know, I'm probably, some father's poem. I would have taken it. Man, this is nice. Acts of service, unexpectedly doing one of the other's chores. Husband doing the dishes, cleaning the house. Cooking the pot pies. Running an errand for the other. Having the home and children clean for the other. Cleaning the car for your wife or filling her gas tank. Keeping the grass mowed and yard in order weekly. Remember, it takes one or two criticisms for the way the mate completes a task. Or the way something has turned out for him to cease doing it. See, I don't know why my husband quit doing this. I don't know why my wife quit doing it. Because when they did it, you criticized the way they did it. It's not as important how they did it, but the thought behind them doing it. Okay? And some of us type A personality people, you know, your wife's been doing whatever, cooking a nice meal and doing all this, and then it's like, hey... The lasagna, it's not straight. Okay, so we said verbal. Can you say verbal? Gifts, can you say gifts? Acts of service, say it. Okay, here's one. Focused time together. And by the way, this might be first, second, third, fourth, fifth. Maybe there's one that's the main one, but there is a main one. Focused. If you don't know what the main one, at least maybe you're learning some things that you never even knew. Your wife might like one of these. I bet she'd like all five. Focused time together. Amount of time and what you do when it is, what you do with it are both is important. The key is that there are no other distractions. Look, have a babysitter and take your wife out for a date. Okay? By the way, have a trusted babysitter. Just don't drop them off at, the nearest 7-Eleven or something. Focused attention is important. Togetherness, quality conversation. Okay? So far we've had verbal gifts, acts of service. Focus time together. And then here's number five, physical touch. By the way, my wife nor I are physical touchers. We touch each other. We hold hands when we take a walk, and we enjoy it. But we're not, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. My son Nathaniel, this kid is going to be, listen, whoever marries my son Nathaniel, you better be a toucher, because he's going to be all over you all the time. I mean, he's like 15 years old, and he's still sitting on my lap all the time, okay? But you know, the point is, we're not all touchers. I don't know how many, you know, some of us were huggy, and Jerry Montgomery, you know, I mean, he's hugging everybody. He's a toucher. You know, and some people are like, ugh. That's just Brother Jerry. Okay, he's toucher. I'm not encouraging men to hug other people's wives, okay? You got that? Okay, I'm just trying to stress a point. Okay? Physical touch, hand holding, hugging, cuddling. Okay, by the way, you can usually see the touchers, couples in church. They're real close together and just, you know, instead of saying amen, you know, it's, hey, God is good. They go, ah. That's their amen. That's okay. Hand holding, hugging, cuddling, walking arm in arm, playful touches, little tickles. We better stop right there. Now, let me ask you a question, okay? This might be new to you. Who would say, Pastor, think, we got verbal, gifts. By the way, look at your spouse. They're going to raise their hand here in a minute. We're going to see. You know, I was going to take a test, but I don't want to embarrass anybody because I think a lot of us would fail. Okay, we got verbal, gifts, acts of service, focus time, physical touch. By the way, single people, look around. I mean, if there's someone you like, look and see so you can sort of get an idea. Now, who would say mine, we're going to go through it. Who would say, by the way, you don't have to be married for this, but who would say mine is verbal? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Verbal. What, don't be so shy. Come on. This is a church thing. Verbal. Verbal. Put it up. My daughter. Verbal. The meanest guy in the church, he likes someone saying nice things to him. Verbal. 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 How on the patio? They're all touching each other. they're like, man, you start talking about that touching stuff. Okay, verbal. Okay, here's one. One more time. Verbal. Put it up. Verbal. Verbal. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm looking for you single people. Look around. That's how you're going to reel them in. You know, keep giving them gifts. They keep throwing it away. Say something nice to them. You got them. Okay, who would say gifts? Gifts. Gifts. Raise your hand. Like, man, I want you to spend some money on me. Forget that talk. Talk is cheap. Gifts. Okay, gifts. Miss Bonita, you had verbal and gifts. She like all five. Taking advantage of it. He's watching you. Gifts. Okay. Now, okay, number three. Acts of service. Acts of service. You two, my boys are all like me. Shine my shoes. I love you. Right here. Look at acts of service. Wow, I thought I was the only one in the church. Miss Bonita, you three, all three? Okay, good. You're hard to love. Anyway, no, just kidding. Just kidding. Oh, Ezekiel said, no, all five. Okay. Acts of service. Number four, focus time together. Come on. Focus time together. Just staring at each other. Walking on the beach when the sun's going down. Okay. Now, some men, they'll bring their newspaper and read it. Okay, here we go. Number five, physical touch. Let's see, the touchers. The touchers. Okay, good. Some of you learned something tonight. Touchers. How many are like, it's hard for anybody to love me. It's not on here. If you didn't raise your hand, it's like, you're dead out of luck. No one's ever going to love you. Just kidding. Look, we're done. What's the point, Pastor? The point is this. Let's think when we love our spouse. By the way, as I teach this, I'm going, man, I'm not what I should be. Husbands, you'd be surprised, and I've said it several times, you'd be surprised if you can touch your wife's love button. She'll do anything. She'll melt. You ever see some teenage girl Some knucklehead finds one of these love buttons and pushes it. She leaves her family. Her family's loved her and prayed for her and helped her, and her mother went to the jaws of death to bear her, and in 1 hour, she gives up everything because some moron touched her love button. Now, don't you think a wife that really loves you, that if we would work at loving her, she'd love us back? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's stand together.